Hey everybody, this is Doc Mac from the Galloping Ghost Arcade out in Brookfield, Illinois. We are here again for another podcast. Today is Friday, October 27th, 2017, and I am joined by none other than former Gamer of the Year, Pete Hahn.
Hello everyone, thanks for joining us. We haven't recorded since July, I want to say. July 28th.
God. That is... We apologize for the massive delay in recording.
Didn't we say we're going to be recording a lot more now? That was like a statement we made.
That is true. The last few months, there has been so much going on behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, too. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to it all throughout this podcast. Like this will be another catch-up podcast where we're just kind of getting everybody... back up to speed with all the crazy things going on here and give a little insight into all the good stuff that's coming up and some of the stuff that you might have missed. And again, it's been so much.
I'm just looking at the list of what we have to cover and it's overwhelming.
Oh, it is. And that's, yeah. But let's just jump right in.
All right, cool. So how about we start with Monday Mystery Games?
Excellent.
All right, so we're going all the way back to Street Fighter EX Plus, which was the 31st of July.
We picked that up. I got that out in Mount Zion from Troy Smith.
Cool.
Who we've bought so many great games from Troy. He's really awesome to deal with. Always gives us good prices. And that was when we got it, it was funny because I had passed on a few times.
Oh, really?
It didn't have a control panel.
Oh, okay.
And Troy was looking for the control panel. He knew it was there somewhere. I had the game in it, just didn't have a control panel. And I had never actually seen that marquee before. Mm-hmm. So I had the board already. But it was just the holdup was the control panel. And
right.
There was one on eBay, so we brought it back. And I was just going to buy the control panel and... Went to the warehouse and we just happened to have one.
Oh, nice!
Fully populated, threw it on.
Yeah, I really enjoy the game. I mean, I think it's a fun game. Like I like Skullomania and all his crazy animations, his raging demon thing. What's it called? The Skullo Dream.
Yeah, that's a cool game. It's definitely that was the first 3D Street Fighter game. Mm-hmm. They did Street Fighter EX2, mm-hmm. Which we also have, but is not out on the floor yet. But, huge shout-outs to Troy for selling us that one. And I'm really happy that everybody really got into that one and had a lot of fun with it.
Surprisingly, it was pretty highly requested.
It was. Yeah. It was.
Cool. All right, next up, Twinkle Star Sprites.
Another one that was highly requested. Yep. Put out on the MVS Neo Geo system. Found the cart... as always, we're very particular making sure that nothing in our place is bootleg. And that's a cartridge that was often bootlegged.
Yeah, so, it's kind of a rare MVS cart still.
It is. So we made sure that we got an original, and we did. So cool. Another great addition, a lot of people requesting it. Fun game.
Yeah, now we're... That Neo Geo, I think, is full now, too, so...
Yes.
Running out of space on those.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Crash.
Crash was an interesting game. Seth found that online for us. And he was very excited to get it up and running, another Exidy title. It was definitely a... it had never been requested. I had actually passed on it twice before. Mm-hmm. But the price on it was... We just couldn't pass it up. And good game. Fairly rare.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never seen it before.
Yeah, it has a... Cabinet's pretty cool. And like I said, that was one that Seth really wanted, so we were happy to get it.
Excellent. Next up, Space Bomber.
Space Bomber was a lot of fun. That was...
I think everyone enjoyed that one.
Oh, yeah. A very unique... I had I was so anxious to do the artwork on that one for the marquee. There's no marquee artwork out there, and it We found the board in Japan. It was one that I had been looking for a while when it popped up on auction in Japan. We just had to get it.
Is it rare?
It is pretty rare. Oh, okay. It's a Saikyo, so definitely all their games are fairly rare. Mm-hmm. Such a weird art direction to the game, and I ended up having to... I really wanted some time put on that marquee, so I actually handed it off to Brandon, mm-hmm. Brandon Diaz, who did the actual marquee art for it, which... say 99% of the marquee art I do, mm-hmm. but he did a great job on it, and
yeah, it came out nice.
Yeah, definitely a fun project and such a cool game. That was also the first time when we got it. Everything was in Japanese on it.
Oh, that's right. The region dip, right? Or not dip? It was a
trace.
Yeah, a trace on the board.
A trace on the board. There's two traces that had to be cut. Mm-hmm. Such an interesting, I had to research quite a bit to find out that that's how it was controlled. I looked at the ROMs, through MAME, and those were in English. So it was really interesting to see how to get that in there. Cause the game, having watched a YouTube video of it, it was, seeing that like, bad translation that was going on.
That's half the fun.
Yeah, it really added a lot to it, so it was imperative. It wasn't a dip switch, it wasn't the ROMs, so in researching it, I found a site that had mentioned that there were two trace cuts that had to be made, and then we went back and we fixed up two of our other Saikyo games, being Tengai, or was it Soul Divide?
Soul Divide, I think.
Soul Divide and Dragon Blaze.
Yeah, now those have English text.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, very cool. Next up, the New Zealand Story.
New Zealand Story, another great game, very rare. Few people had requested it. Mm-hmm. Just a cool game, also known as Kiwi Craze. The game was actually donated. We had the board. Mm-hmm. I picked that up out in, again, on auction in Japan. But somebody had just called us up and donated a full cabinet.
But with a board in it?
With a board.
Oh, nice.
And marquee and everything, and just wanted to see it and another game that he donated, which has yet to make the arcade floor. But it was definitely great, very generous of him to donate that to us, and I know a lot of people really got into it when we put it on the floor.
Definitely, yeah. There's been a few 1cc's on it already.
Yeah.
So
tough game.
Oh yeah, it's deceivingly tough. Like it looks kind of easy, but it's not.
Yeah.
once you get into it, Tasmania is next up on the Monday Mystery Games.
Tasmania, another great game. This was another one that we got from Troy Smith. He had found a board set for us a while back. It was a board set, marquee, and bezel. And he was going to sell us that, and then there was something wrong with the board, so he couldn't sell it to us. So all of our cabinet components we donated to Masi Skopian, mm-hmm. and helped him rebuild a cabinet. But it was still one we were looking for, and Troy got one and sold it to us. And this one had a bit of a issue when... We had done a burn-in test on it, but once it made it out to the floor during the Monday Mystery Reveal, it had a board issue.
Yeah, pretty soon after it went up.
Yeah, a couple hours in. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those things that literally the day of that it went down, or probably the day after, I thought I could fix it because we had other Stern boards that we could swap components with. And thought we could get it running, so it took us an extra day to decide to. I found a board at Quarter Arcade, mm-hmm. and bought one. And we were just waiting for that to come in. It was supposed to be a fully working board and everything. There was one day you texted me, you told me to come down to the arcade because a bunch of packages arrived, and mm-hmm. just started opening them up, and in one of the boxes was Tasmania. So I just took it out, threw the box away, and didn't really think much about it. And we went and we got the game up and running by the next day. Mm-hmm. And that day, another board arrived. And this time I looked at the, and it was from Anthony at Quarter Arcade.
Quarter Arcade, right, the one you ordered.
The one that we ordered. Mm-hmm. And so what had happened was apparently somebody must have watched the live stream, saw we were having a problem with the board, and just immediately packed up a spare board and sent it to us and just donated it. And I really, and I've mentioned this on the Monday Mystery Stream, I have to apologize that I don't know who sent that to us. Like, I just wasn't paying attention to the name on the box. So, huge shout-outs to whoever did that. That is, like, such a great show of support. And
that's awesome. Thank you, Mystery Donor.
Thank you, Mystery Donor. And wish I had looked at that box. I feel terrible about that, but... Yeah, thank you.
If you want to remain anonymous, that's cool. But if you want to come forward, you know, we'd like to thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. It's an awesome story. Next up, we have Brave Firefighters.
Brave Firefighters, a great game. Was one that I was looking for quite a while. And initially, I'd seen it everywhere back when it came out and figured, oh, this is going to be pretty easy to find locally. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly not. I had a few that I had leads on that weren't too far away and couldn't get a deal done with it. Ended up finding one out in Colorado. So we sent Sam Gates out there to pick it up. Came back, was in pretty good shape. The Hikaru board, which is notorious for dying, like really weak solder joints on it and chips fall off it and just... very happy that it got here working, but there was this was an important project because it was about a couple weeks before we decided we wanted to put this out as our 612th game, mm-hmm. which was the game that would give us the official, it would break the official world record for most number of video games or arcade games
right.
in one location. But it was also 9/11, so it was like we wanted to turn this into something a little bit bigger as a way to pay tribute to what happened on 9/11. So we formed a whole event around it where we decided that every dollar that we made for that day we would donate to split it between the Brookfield Fire Department and the New York Fire Department. And we ended up raising... around, even with door donations, it was right around $1,500.
Cool.
So we donated $750 to the New York Fire Department, and then we had the money, and we're offering it to the Brookfield Fire Department, and they said that the money would be better off going to the Chicago Fire Association, the burn camp.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Which is held once a year for kids and people hurt in fires, and it gives them a great place to go and kind of just get their minds off of things. And so we were happy to donate that money to them. We just had them out here recently and are scheduling an event that we're going to donate where they get everybody together and give them a place to go and kind of hang out and socialize, and really happy to do that. And they seem very hopefully it does some good. It's...
Yeah. All right, that's excellent. That was for 9/11 for us, and then next up the next week after that was Turtles.
Turtles, another
Ninja Turtles.
Not Ninja Turtles. Another great Stern game. Very rare. This is one somebody called us up and said they had it. They just picked it up in a bulk package deal of games, and it was having some issues, and they gave us first shot at it, and we dropped it off even and just drove it out.
That's
and
nice.
Yeah, it was great. Original dedicated cabinet. So that was another one that we were very happy to have and add to the floor.
Our Stern Rose nearly complete.
It's getting there. It's looking really good.
It is. Yeah, I like the shape of those cabinets. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Search and Rescue. That's SNK, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great game. Uses rotary sticks. Arson's original dedicated cabinet again. This one we got from none other than Jeremy Fox over at Prince Arcades. He had picked it up, and he wasn't sure what he was either going to call us up and see if we wanted it. And pretty cool game. I think I actually traded him something for it. There was something else that we had just picked up in a package deal and just worked out. It was the same value game. So pretty rare game. Really cool cabinet. The artwork on it is really nice.
It's pretty cool. Like, I haven't really sunk much time into it, but it's like, it looks like Alien Syndrome and, I don't know, combined with maybe Akari Warriors or something.
Yeah.
It's about the best way to describe it.
Yeah. It's a cool game. I know there's a lot of interest in it at first on it, but then it seemed to dwindle off a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think that's probably, there's so many solid games coming out.
Yeah, if you look at all the last games that we put out, there's been not really very many that are just like, oh, that's like a niche game. Like, this, everyone can get into a lot of these games.
Yeah.
Next up, Steel Gunner 2.
Steel Gunner 2. This was a great game, another Namco game. A lot of fun. Definitely has kind of a Lucky and Wild feel to it. Again, original dedicated cabinet. We had... I forget where we picked this one up at.
The post office.
No. It's got the cabinet on it is very huge.
Yes.
It was odd. Somebody local had one, and they were offering us to it, just giving it to us at a really great price. But the problem was theirs was a conversion of Operation Thunderbolt.
Okay.
So we passed on it, and basically told him the only reason why was we were looking for an original dedicated cabinet. Mm-hmm. And he sent us the link to it. I think it was out in Utah, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And I had just picked something up. I just bought something else out that way. So I was like, yeah, I might as well grab that one too. Well, the guy's coming there anyway. So
yeah.
He grabbed that and brought it out, and really cool game. Stemming from that, somebody had seen us release it on the arcade floor, and again, I really can't, like, the community that supports this place is just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was watching, Andrew Cox was watching, and he saw that Troy Smith had just posted a Steel Gunner 1. And he thought, how cool would it be to have that here right next to Steel Gunner 2? And it's a very similar cabinet. The main difference in the cabinet is just it's a different marquee. But so cool of him. He called Troy up, said that he wanted to donate it to us. And we have it here. We haven't added it to the floor yet.
Hopefully by the expansion?
It'll definitely go up right when the expansion opens. It'll be one of the first games going on the floor.
Okay.
Our good friend Brian Armitage, again, like, Troy calls me up and tells me that somebody's donating a game to us. And that in itself is just unbelievable. Like, how cool is that? But then Brian Armitage messages me from Paradise Arcade, and he's like, hey, I'm going out to Troy's. I'm going to pick that up for you and bring it out to you. It's like,
that's awesome.
It really is. It's you could never hope to have such a just an unbelievable group of people that support and just want to see the place better, and they're so willing to help, and each person like that is really what makes this place what it is. So thank you to everybody that's done anything cool like that for us, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Next up for the Monday Mystery Games, Amidar.
Another one right in the stern row. Mm-hmm. Great game, very rare. Original cabinet with bezel and control panel art and marquee. picked it up out in... That might have been in the other Utah game.
Oh, okay.
So those two might have arrived together.
Back to back.
Yeah. Very cool. Another great addition, filling out that stern row, trying to get a lot of our rows filled out, like our Konami row. I can't wait till that's all grouped together with all the four players. The Williams row, the Midway row, Stern row, the Atari row. We have a big reorganization of the arcade coming up, and very anxious for it.
Cool. Next week, First Funky Fighter.
First Funky Fighter. Really cool game.
I just like saying the name.
The FFF.
Yes.
This one, again, we have a few people we need to thank for this. I had seen the game probably through a video of weird games on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube, yeah.
And made a list of somebody's top 10 list of weird arcade games. Did a little bit of research on it, and just what a weird game, but what a cool art style to it. It's almost like there's 9 buttons on it. It's almost like kind of like a whack-a-mole thing. And it eventually popped up in Japan on auction, the board. So I ordered the board, and I had all these visions of, oh, I'm going to have to make this weird cabinet, and just was looking at weird game cabinets and what can we put this in and do a conversion on it. And then it wasn't something that we were actively... I was looking for a cabinet. It was like on my mind, but it wasn't exactly going on the floor really soon. But then all of a sudden we found on auction the entire full original dedicated cabinet.
In Japan or...?
In Japan.
Okay.
On auction for like $500. Wow. 50,000 yen. And the big problem was I called our proxy guys out in Japan who usually buy stuff for us. And the problem was that they needed the money in person and you had to pick it up right then and there.
Wow.
So that's not something that... I called a few friends over there, and everybody's like, no. No, I don't want to go drive around and pick up a game cabinet for you and wrap it. And yeah, just at some random place and package it up and ship it out to you and deal with that nonsense.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, well, we'll have to deal with the board. And our... good friends from the Arcade Video Game Expo, Rob Burke, who also runs Pinball Expo, just happened to call us up one day, and he's like, what's going on? Anything going on? Anything I can help with? And I was like, well, yeah, not really, unless you can get me this game from Japan.
Yeah.
And he's like, send me a link. And I was like, okay. Sent it over to him. And then, like, 2 days later, he's like, okay, we got it.
Wow.
He's like, he had Yoshihiko Sato had driven out there in Japan. He had, Rob Burke had talked to him and set it all up, and he rented a truck and he loaded it up and wrapped it
and shipped it. Wow.
And then Rob had some other place that dropped it off to our door.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And like we paid for all of it, but like just unbelievable. And what a cool game, what a amazing cool cabinet. And it's awesome to be able to share that, the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And let people see it and play it on an original cabinet. And I think everybody seemed to like it, with the exception of...
I haven't really given it a chance. Like, I was out on vacation when you unveiled it, and I was like, what is this? Like,
yeah.
This does not seem like a game that... This looks too much like a Redemption game. What is this?
It is kind of whack-a-mole-ish.
Yeah.
But I think it is solid. I don't think it'll take that much abuse. Like, I think it'll be durable enough to survive the floor. Like, Arm Champs...
Survived a while.
Survived a bit, yeah. I think this is a little more robust than Arm Champs, and I don't think people will be that rough on it.
We hope.
We hope. but it was great to see so many people get into it. Like, on the unveiling, everybody was playing it. It was like, it's so easily accessible. It's just like, there's no joystick, it's just hit these nine buttons. Yeah. Surprisingly violent game.
Well, who makes it again? Is it Taito?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. I didn't know all the background going into it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very excellent. We're finally caught up. We're at this week's Monday Mystery Game, which was Chiller.
Yes. Chiller was kind of a surprise release for us. I had picked this up a while back. Definitely a rare game. We had had several people ask for it. Classic Exidy.
A lot of people thought we wouldn't be able to get it or put it on the floor.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. I know it was actually only the second time I had seen one for sale. And it's a super rare game. Collectors want it. Mm-hmm. The guy that sold it to us was very hesitant about selling it. It wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And I messaged him, I don't care if it's not working. We'll get it running. Like, and he was like, for months, he just was like, no, I'm not selling it. And then he got it working. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think he was going to sell it at that point. He was like, he said his girlfriend was even pushing him to not sell it. And I just checked back with him every once in a while, like, hey, you gonna sell that? And finally was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll sell it to you.
Oh, cool.
It was out in Pennsylvania. And our good friend Jerry Colonna drove out from New Jersey. Jerry, who we know through NJ GamerCon. And he just picked it up, drove it back to his place until he was going to make a trip out here, which he did eventually. Mm-hmm. And he dropped it off. It's and now we have it. We were going to save that game for a while.
Yes, I heard the stories.
Yeah, the original plan was to put it out on as our 666th game, which I think would have been awesome.
But it's still cool as the kickoff to our horror scoring tournament.
Absolutely, I think it was one. There's a lot of people at that Monday Mystery, and I think that was a solid choice. Mm-hmm. We have another game that we might be releasing this Monday.
Another, like, spooky game?
Another horror-themed game.
Cool.
So that was supposed to be that Monday's game, but we didn't want to chance it. So.
All right. Excellent. Well, that wraps up Monday Mystery Game.
Yeah.
Excellent. So... There's a ton of scores that we have missed, and I probably couldn't cover all of them if I tried, but I'll try to just give some highlights as to some of the scores that have been going on through the last couple months. Just a really big one, I give a shout out to Kelly Tharp, who came out and did his Mousetrap Marathon.
Yeah.
He was over 50 million. He's done 64 million before. He did over 50 million here. I want to say put in about 30 hours.
Yeah, that was unbelievable watching him.
It's pretty crazy.
Just such a great player.
And he can marathon multiple games, which is crazy.
He was already talking about doing his next marathon. Like, he basically he lost track of his lives.
Mm. And he rolled them up too much.
Yeah. But literally, it his attitude towards it was just phenomenal to see. He knew he had done a great accomplishment just doing that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't his set goal, but he was already like, oh, I want to come back and do this game and this game and this game. And it's like, wow, this guy's a beast. Like, normally you'd finish who finishes a 30-hour marathon being like...
All hyped.
Hyped up and ready for the next one.
Right.
That's great. That's absolutely great.
Yeah, I know that... Originally, he wasn't going to do... I think he was going to do Tapper originally, right?
Yeah.
Because I know he's really... He used to have the world record for that game as well.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Maybe we'll have him back out for Tapper or some other game.
Hopefully.
Cool. So that that's one of the big scores that have has been set recently here. Also, Matt Walter set a new top score on RaceRum, which has been a long-standing world record. It's been standing for, I want to say, like 3 years or so.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give Matt Walters a shout-out for setting the new RaceStorm high score. There's also a few recent scores that have gone up. James White took back his Dynamite Duke score, which I know Fred had beaten like in the last month or so.
And he had initially done that without recording, right?
Which one? Oh, yeah, that's right. He posted his picture on Facebook, and he was like, oh, can we take it? It wasn't recorded. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, the answer is no.
Yeah, it's, again, the...
we cannot bend.
Never. Yeah. We've made the rule of all world records have to be accompanied by a video playthrough since we acquired Orcade. And even though the site hasn't been updated yet, that is a standing rule for anything that's a world record, that it must be documented.
Yeah, and that's to protect both the player and the scoring house.
Like, absolutely.
We want to have irrefutable evidence should it ever be questioned, but do remember to record if you're even near a score. I would recommend just recording because it's easy to set up.
Yeah, especially the regulars, especially. Like, you guys are all so good at playing games, and there's almost no such thing as a casual run. Mm-hmm. Like, all the regulars are so capable of doing a world record on so many games, literally at any time.
Yeah,
and it's one of those things where we don't want to have it people getting upset or frustrated. Like, it is the full standing rule that. And we were mentioning it time and time again. James was really cool and understanding about it.
Yeah.
But he knew he could do it again, so.
That's good. It's good to see him not lose it after that, because, I don't know, some people are like, that's all I had, I can't do it ever again, you know.
Right.
But I'm of the opinion if you do something once, you can always do it again.
For sure. Probably even better, just like James did on that one.
Yeah.
But you don't want to miss something, so make sure that you are recording.
Yep.
We picked up some new cameras thanks to Jamie Tibbetts.
Yeah, they got the little flip screen on them.
Yep. And we've got our GoPros and we've got our original cameras, so there's definitely a lot of recording options.
Or you can bring your own. Like Steven Lucas, he brings his own. He wants to watch his footage, see where he, you know, messes up. If he gets a good run, he emails me the link later, so that works too.
It's awesome. Again, though, he does turn them in.
If you set a new score, it's got to be day of.
Yeah, you must turn your video in right then and there.
Yeah, you can't sandbag your score.
Nope.
Yeah, if you don't send a score in day of it's submitted, or like let us know that you set the score the day it was actually done, then we got to toss it out.
Yep.
But yeah, there's just a ton more scores, and I do apologize if we've missed over anyone's accomplishment. We're gonna have to on our next podcast maybe go over a few more of those, but there's a lot of events to cover still, so
right.
we'll jump back to the events, and just congratulations to all the high scorers. You know, usually Nick Edgerton does his Facebook post when he does our weekly reviews, so usually you get shout out on there, but hopefully we'll shout you out right next time. Cool. So let's go to cabinet upgrades.
Yes.
All right, first one, Crazy Climber.
Yeah, Crazy Climber. We picked that up. We did a trade with our good friend Bradley out in Wisconsin. He's got just an amazing collection at the... name is slipping out of my mind right now. It's Silver Coin Arcade.
Oh, okay.
Original.
We did this before T20, right? So it was at T20 with the new cabinet. Okay.
Yeah, it was at T20 with the new cabinet.
Cool.
Our original cabinet was, it's a Robbie Roto cabinet. That was one, I was anxious to get that to somebody who needed it as a Robbie Roto cabinet. And it was just really cool to get that one. Huge shout outs to Bradley for letting us get it and add it to the arcade floor and get another game back in its original dedicated cabinet.
Next up, a favorite game of mine, Vendetta.
Yes. We had that in the proper cabinet, but with no side art. Ours had the marquee and
control panel.
And the control panel. Yeah. Coin-op warehouse out in Rhode Island,
Maine, or something like that.
Maine, yeah.
Yeah.
We got that from them. It was just pretty much just the empty cabinet. Mm-hmm. So we merged the two cabinets together, and ours now has side art and is a full, complete cabinet.
Cool. Sarge, was this, I don't remember what we upgraded on this one.
Sarge and Blueprint just got
marquees, right?
New marquees.
That's right.
Yeah. That we found the Sarge marquee out on eBay. Just somebody had a really nice one, along with a new Two Tigers marquee.
Oh, right, right, right. They're starting to flake.
Yeah, they were pretty bad. And same thing with Blueprint. It's like, you could see the light
through
the marquee. Yeah. So the Blueprint one we got from This Old Game, which was pretty cool. It looked pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And then we've got a few new cabinets. Captain Commando.
Yes.
Got a new cabinet.
That was a really cool one. We got that. It had been completely gutted. And it had, the sides were all painted black.
Mm-hmm.
That it had the marquee, did have the marquee and the control panel.
With the special buttons on it already? It
did have the special buttons.
Okay.
It had the board. The board didn't work. That was the problem with it.
Okay.
Me and Sam Gates worked on stripping off all the black paint to get it back to its original big blue status. And the guy that sold it to me had another Captain Commando cabinet with side art.
Oh, man.
And I had never seen the side art before. So he sent a bunch of really good pictures of it, and we stitched it together and made some pretty good side art for it. It's not 100%, mm-hmm. but about as good as you're going to get.
Well, it's definitely a step up from what we had before. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ours used to be in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles four-player cabinet, but
right.
Now great to have it in its original dedicated Big Blue.
Yep. Punisher also got a new cabinet.
Yeah, that was
Big Blues.
That was another one we had shipped in, I believe, from Pennsylvania. An original dedicated, definitely a very rare cabinet. It is a Big Blue style. The cabinet is black side art, though.
So it's not a Big Blue.
It is a Big Blue. It's considered in the Big Blue family.
Okay.
Has the oversized marquee, really cool cabinet. We have one player that just plays it nonstop.
Scott
plays it.
Yeah.
I know he was looking to 1cc it and getting the world record, so definitely wanted to have that in an original dedicated cabinet for him.
I think he said that the cabinet made all the difference. Like, he likes the new one a lot better.
Yeah.
So he did eventually beat the top score in 1cc of the game.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Very cool. Congrats to Scott.
Yes.
Next up, we have Devastators.
Devastators, another one. Those Konami cabinets are, I really like them.
I do too.
I had
comfortable height.
They are. Cool side art. Not the normal art that you would expect from a Konami game, like.
No cheesy 80s actors.
Yeah.
None of that, unfortunately.
Yeah. We had just separated, what was in that? Super Contra. Yeah, it used to be a 2-in-1, and we separated it. Our old Devastators was in a Williams cabinet, and they surprisingly look pretty similar,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the same. That one was like such a... I was pretty... particular. I really wanted an original Devastators cabinet for some reason.
Is that, like, everything in the Konami row looks good in their dedicated cabinet. Like,
yeah,
looks
really.
So next up, we have a cool one here, Superman.
Yeah, Superman was our cabinet, our original cabinet that we got. I remember Jeremy Fox from Prince Arcades again had picked that one up for us a long time ago, and hadn't really seen any others. The cabinet was pretty worn. Mm-hmm. A lot of the red was faded out of it. So I was talking with Ken Coy, who handles all the recasting for our Mortal Kombat statues and does a lot of miscellaneous recasting and work for us, such as he did our Pong spinners and our Blaster joystick. He called me up and he's like, hey, would you be interested in a Superman cabinet and a Mortal Kombat 4 cabinet? I was like, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. and he's like, you're going to have to go get them at Alex Ross's house.
Okay.
And for those who don't know, Alex Ross is like this phenomenal artist who does like Superman and Batman, like all the DC characters, and his artwork is just...
It's incredible.
It is. It's unbelievable. And so, you know, like, if you see one of his pieces and know that's an Alex Ross piece of artwork...
It's a very distinctive style.
Very, very stylized.
Yeah, it's... I think he, like, uses live actors and models them, like, off of the live actors. Like, it looks more lifelike than most comics art. So, it's really cool looking.
So, he was like, yeah, we're gonna drive out there and pick up these two cabinets and, and Alex just donated them. He's like, I want these to go to a good place and where people are going to enjoy them. And with the Mortal Kombat 4 cabinet that he had, he did a trade for artwork with John Vogel of Mortal Kombat fame and Skidder fame, Alex called John and was like, hey, do you care if your MK4 cabinet ends up at Galloping Ghost? And he was all about it.
Nice.
So we went and we picked him up, and instantly when I saw the MK4 cabinet, it was not like our MK4 cabinet. The sides of the control panel box, the artwork was different. The side art,
Quan Chi.
It had the Quan Chi side art, but the coloring on it is different.
Huh.
Like, it's a little more yellow. It was in pristine shape, and it ended up being a prototype.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, just...
Are we going to switch ours out eventually? Or
we will probably switch ours out at some point, or maybe we'll just leave that one and bring it out at Combat Con and stuff. But definitely awesome. One that we will hold on to. But more than likely, we'll have that one on the arcade floor. Huge shout-outs to Alex Ross.
Yeah, that's very, very generous.
Yeah, and to Ken for setting it all up. And we should also point out, Ken just stopped by the other day. He was hanging out at Alex's, and he had a side art panel. He calls me up, and he's like, I thought they were talking. He said he had a panel from Judge Dredd,
mm-hmm.
the unreleased Midway prototype game. So I'm thinking control panel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, do you want to scan this in? I was like, oh, yeah, it'd be great. Like, we had to custom make our cabinet art. So we, Ken just shows up with this artwork, and I walk out, and it's not a control panel. It's the full side art to the cabinet.
Yeah.
Like, on the MDF wood and not cut for T-molding or anything. And it was just, like, unbelievable to see that. I had seen it once. I think Star Worlds had one,
mm-hmm.
and out in DeKalb, and who, by the way, it's they've had one. I think theirs is off location,
mm-hmm.
But they never had access to the actual artwork, so. Now we were able to fully scan it in and preserve it, and we'll be doing a cabinet upgrade on ours fairly soon.
That's awesome. All right, so that's all we have for cabinet upgrades. Next up, you attended the Pinball Expo.
Yeah, that was a really cool event. That was actually my first Pinball Expo that I had been to.
Were you a speaker, or what was that about?
Yeah, Rob had asked me to do a panel on how the arcade opened, and like the daily operation of the Galloping Ghost Arcade, and was a lot of fun. It was just a great show. Like I definitely won't miss another one. Got to see everybody was there. Like George Gomez was there, and Steve Ritchie, and great to see those guys.
A lot of pinball legends.
Yeah.
Cool. So next up, let's talk a little bit about the hardcore belt.
Yes.
So I think it's been losing a little steam lately, but
maybe
a little bit.
A little bit. I think we've had a bunch of people asking for it. A lot of the casuals are so excited about that belt.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people that they're interested in it, and it is so important that the regulars like take the time to come out and defend it when there's a lot of people there, just because I think
I mean, a lot of times it's mostly going back and forth on Mondays.
Yeah. Massey's is the current champion now, right?
Yes, he is.
So it's usually...
he will come out.
Oh, yeah. It's,
which is cool.
It's been great when he has a belt. I know he likes to come out and...
he likes to mix it up with the casuals.
Yeah, he takes on all comers. That's really cool to see. It's the sign of a great hardcore champion when they want to defend it.
Yeah.
And also, he had that one massive streak going.
Yeah.
And that's great. It creates a lot of hype amongst the players that aren't here as often.
Right.
And it's really what gets them more involved in the community. Like this chance to have this be the hardcore champion. And
yeah, I mean, there are other benefits. If you're not like a year member, you get to come back to defend your belt. So
right.
If you're not a member, you're going to get in for free next time. So
yeah.
There is a definite benefit if you can win it.
Yeah.
So and hang on to it, I should say.
The hanging on to it, that
that's
is
tough
a
part.
Tough title to hang on to.
Yeah, you might have it, but then you might lose it. It can lose it just like that.
You can hold on to it for one match or five matches or
yep.
20 matches or who knows.
So yeah, it's definitely, we hope to see some action on this weekend. Mozzie said he'd be out this weekend, so that'd be
good.
Cool.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a great Saturday. Saturday is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So, a lot of events.
Let's talk about the Saturday events, as long as you segued so nicely there. So we have, first of all, the swap meet starting at 11 a.m.
Yes.
The car smashing the building will not stop us.
Nothing stops us.
Not even a car.
Car?
Nothing.
It's already taken care of.
Yeah. Well, I was pretty surprised when I came into work that evening afterward and the hole was patched up and it was good to go.
Yeah.
So vendor setup starts at 10 a.m. and then the general public is welcome to come in at 11 a.m. and please do come by. It's free.
Free to get into the swap meet. And
lots of vendors.
Yeah. I know last time a lot of the guys from the Hacks group had come out. I think we're going to probably take a trip down to at least one of the storage units.
Cool.
We have one next door, but there's not a lot for sale down there, but there are a lot of boards and control panels.
Are you going to be selling more console stuff, too? I think your console stuff you put out, was it one or two swap meets ago, went super quick?
It did. Mm-hmm.
Is that all gone now?
No, it's not all gone, but we still have a bunch. I'm going to try to find some of it. I'm not sure if it's here or at the other warehouse or the other warehouse.
Okay. What, so, is there going to be more arcade stuff, you think, this time then?
Yeah, definitely with the us taking a trip to the storage unit, I think that's going to be pretty cool. It's kind of a... It's what you would want from a warehouse raid.
Yeah. As in you never know what you're going to get type thing?
Yeah, there's, Seth has organized our control panels and stuff now, and our marquees, and there's a lot to kind of go through. Like, we couldn't, it's literally not possible to bring all the stuff
here. No,
we
fill up all 15 tables.
Easily.
We'd have no room for other vendors, so we don't want to do that.
Right.
But I do want to say thank you to everyone that's asked about the tables. We are totally full up on tables. I do apologize. I've only had to turn down one or two people, but I do apologize if you're looking to come out. But I do encourage you to still do come out if you want to bring a few items to see if anyone wants to trade. You know, have them in the back of your car. Whatever you want to do, you can do that. Next time we'll hopefully be able to get you in. But yeah, we hit our max capacity like about a week ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we've ever had all of our tables full. We've come close, but it's cool that there's been a ton of interest, and we really hope to see everyone at the swap meet tomorrow. So,
cool. I think we might. I know there's a few people that had two tables.
Yes.
I think we might change that up a little bit in the future.
Right.
Just so that we can have more vendors. Yeah. So.
In the future, like if no one comes. Like, if we're not at capacity, like, the second table will be available on the day of type thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Cool, we'll look at it. We'll definitely look at that. Next up, what else do we have tomorrow? Spectre Files.
Spectre Files.
That's at 6 p.m., correct?
6 p.m. Brian Cullen is going to be here, the game's creator.
Is that him in that picture on the banner with the fangs? It looks like him.
That is the Count.
It looks a little bit like Brian Cullen.
Oh, with the fangs. Yes, that is Brian Cullen. Okay. Yes, that is not the Count. That is Brian Cullen.
Brian the Count. Okay.
Yes, it's a game that we're putting out with Game Refuge and Galloping Ghost Productions teaming up. It was a game that was started back in 1984. And Brian had filmed it all. And... we've been playtesting it here for the last 10 days or so, and been having a lot of fun with it. We had I finally made my way through it.
1cc?
1cc.
Nice.
I have the first 1cc on it. Just such a cool, it's a unique game. We had Tim Foley came out. I went down last Saturday and asked whoever had if anyone had Galloping Ghost coins on them, and
they could use them to get in.
They could use it to get into a beta testing of Spectre Files.
Oh, nice!
The perks are there. What was that?
The perks are there for these coins.
For sure. There's one of the things that we wanted to do with the Ghost coins is make just a way to get the people that have them to have a bit of a deeper experience here at the arcade and at the other Galloping Ghost venues. But yeah, it's going to be a great, great time. Brian's going to be talking about when he made the game originally when they were filming it. They canceled it. It was such an amazing discussion about when I was talking to him about it, and it was like, oh, we have to finish this game. Mm. And to see it go through the whole process, and just really excited for people to take a look at it. It's definitely not your typical video game. Like,
so is this going to be like done, or is this kind of like in a final beta? Or
it's kind of in final beta. We want to make some cabinet changes still. Mm-hmm. We are going to be probably making a limited run of cabinets.
Okay.
We might make a smaller tabletop version of it. We might do, who knows what we're going to do. Maybe a
spook version.
Maybe a spook version. Maybe we'll do a console release or a Steam release of it. Who knows where we'll take it eventually.
Cool.
But, yeah, anxious to get it out. And I think, what better day?
So fits perfectly.
Yeah, so and expect some other surprises.
Definitely. And that's right after the swap meet. So when the swap meet ends at 6, head over to the arcade.
Yep.
Hopefully you can come to both.
Yes.
All right. Next up, we were featured along with the Sky Cursor development team on this short documentary called Sound and Light, Return to the Arcade.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they filmed that?
No. I do not. It was... I couldn't even tell you. I have no idea when it was filmed.
Well, in any case, it came out really good.
Like, yeah, it's huge shout outs to them. They did a great job. The quality on it is just amazing. Like, very high end video production.
Yes.
And huge shout outs to the Sky Cursor guys. Just check it out. I'm sure you'll post a link. Thank you.
Definitely be a link in the podcast notes. So after that, we've got. We had TNK3 out on the floor for just a one-day preview.
Yeah, it was Sean Quigley was returning to the arcade. We hadn't seen him in quite a while. He'd been out in the hospital. So we wanted to do something very special for him. We had just literally that morning, 6 in the morning, the guy drove in from... Where did that one come from?
Was it Michigan?
No, I think that was... I want to say that one was from Colorado.
Somewhere cold.
Yeah. But Sean had requested that game a while back, yes. And it was one of his favorite games. And we just got it that day. It was... I did a test playthrough on it, and we didn't even have it fully set up. We didn't have a credit button on it. We didn't do the locks on it. So it was just this very exclusive, let's bring this out.
Yeah.
And we streamed it a little bit, as I recall.
We either streamed or recorded. We did something. I know we might have just done pictures in a small video.
Yeah.
But it was really cool to see Sean back after not seeing him for so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was really, really gracious and appreciated it a lot. So hopefully we'll see him out some more. He's been back a few times.
Yeah. Hopefully we see him tomorrow at the swap meet and the Spectre Files event.
Yeah. That'd be...
One of the cool things with the TNK at Jeff Lee stopped by, who's mm-hmm. the creator of Qbert and artist on so many great games like Crawl, and he had actually done the side art.
For TNK. Huh.
And he brought us an original piece of artwork, and our cabinet was actually missing the artwork, so really cool of him to bring that out and share it with us, and it was just a...
Was on the day of? The same day?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
He came in. He had told us that Howie Rubens, who's another Gottlieb guy, mm-hmm. Howie's got so many incredible stories. Hopefully we get him back out soon. But Jeff was telling us that Howie had hooked him up with this side gig over at SNK to do this artwork for TNK3.
Well, that's pretty crazy how it all came together.
Yeah.
That's really cool, though. All right. So, also, we... I want to say it was a few weeks ago, we passed our milestone of 612 games. And
yes.
That's officially making us the largest video arcade.
Yeah.
Right?
It's we've probably been the largest video arcade
for some time.
Several hundred games ago.
Yeah.
I guess we should to clarify, like the Guinness World Record for most number of video games, quote unquote, was held set years ago at FunSpot. When they did their walk around there, they had counted pretty much anything that accepted a quarter.
Coin
pushers, redemption, skee ball machines. Like, each of the skee ball machines was counted as a unique machine.
Number, okay.
At that time, like, they probably had around... probably just under 400, maybe a little over 400 arcade machines, be it video and pinball. But when they counted, again, they counted a lot of their redemption stuff, and that was when the number places started counting, like cabinets, like Orcade, before we purchased them, they had only counted arcade and pinball.
Mm-hmm.
And always disregarded any duplicate machines, like...
That's what we do as well. Like, we don't count six grids, right?
Right.
Okay.
We don't count two Sinistars, even though they're the different style cabinets. And that was something that was kind of self-implemented, like with... when David Hernley had it, he said if it was a different cabinet style, you could count it as it's a separate machine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool, but I think you go to an arcade to play unique games.
Mm-hmm.
What's running at any given time, what's on your floor, not multi-cade games, like original dedicated hardware and stuff like that. So, well, we've been saying that we're the largest arcade in the world. 612 was the number that Guinness had, and it's where they still don't... They still haven't acknowledged us.
It'd be nice if they did.
Nah. It's hard to refute a number. It's like you can play 617 games here now. So, it's one of those. Since then, unfortunately, Funspot has started pulling games off their floor. I believe they're closer to having 300 machines there now. They've expanded in other ways. They've added, I think, a new indoor mini golf and more bumper car stuff. And that's all, like, it's cool stuff. Like, I've not been out to Funspot, but our regular, like, Matt Walters and Chris Teeter and Fred DeHart and all those guys have been out there. And
they loved it, yeah.
They love it. They love it. So, like, I can't wait to go myself. But
I'd like to go.
Yeah, one day. Mm-hmm. It's, hopefully they go and bring back a lot of their arcade machines. Like, it's an unfortunate time to be going in the wrong direction. So, yeah. But yeah, 6/12 happened on 9/11. And unfortunately, we are pretty much at a standstill on space right now. So
you're telling me that Monday Mystery Games are... We don't know on those?
No, we're going to keep doing the Monday Mystery Game. What we'll...
I like how the space just appears.
Well, we're going to have to do some creative stuff. There was, like last week, there was a game that I no longer needed to have on the floor. Mm-hmm. So it disappeared.
And no one noticed.
And no one noticed. there's not a lot of games that I don't want on the floor. So what might happen is maybe a rotation thing. We had actually pulled, like, Mach 3 and Us versus Them had been down for a little bit.
Because they're Laserdisc games.
Yeah. Not even because they're Laserdisc games. There was some weird issue with those cabinets.
Oh, the killer cabinet. That's right.
It was the...
This sounds like a Halloween story.
Yeah, the Mach 3 cabinet had turned into a killer cabinet.
I just imagine fangs coming out from the back door.
It was perplexing what was going on with this cabinet. We were checking everything on it. It was down for a bit, and I was swapping boards with Us versus Them. And I'm one, especially on tougher game, more complicated games, and Us versus Them and Mach 3, they're the same board sets. The only difference in the entire cabinet is how the tilt switch works. Mm-hmm. So we were switching boards and I had all of it going well, and it got, actually Seth came in late to it, and I wasn't sure exactly what happened once we both started working on it, but there was a board that got swapped in, and then when we swapped it all back, Us versus Them no longer worked.
And it was before.
It was work. Us versus Them was working fully.
Yes.
And then something happened, and Us versus Them was then down.
Oh, man.
So Seth and I were just kind of like, I don't know what's going on with this. We brought Doug in. Doug was like, oh, he took the board home. He's like, it's working. He put the board in, and it wasn't working. And I was adamant. I'm like, this cabinet is killing things. And he's checking all the voltages, and he's like, this cabinet is running perfect. And nothing, we couldn't tell anything was wrong, and I ended up buying a new board. Doug put that board in, and it was definitely a killer cabinet at that point, because that board didn't work. Doug took all the boards back, got everything up and running, and we finally tracked down the problem. It was something in the harness that went bad. And there was one pin that was kind of overlapping and just causing some heavy grief and catastrophic damage.
Okay.
So now both are back working and didn't get destroyed when the car ran through the place.
They were like right next to the wall there.
Yeah.
They were like 10 feet away.
Yeah. It was fortunate.
Yeah.
But what will happen is those will probably stay off the floor for a little bit. We're going to move them to our new Galloping Ghost Reproductions building, which is right next to,
the parking lot next to the arcade.
Parking lot, yeah. So those will be there. They'll still be playable, will kind of be just like the request only expansion area. So maybe we'll kind of do that before, like how we did back when we had that the pinball area.
A separate area, yeah.
Yeah. I've talked to the landlord a lot about the expansion. It's coming very soon. He is working very hard to get his building done, and then we can start construction on our new building, the fourth building, which will bring everything back over.
Plus more.
Plus a lot more. Like, so, I'm...
There's so much I know about now. I know there's stuff that I don't even know about that's going to be in there.
Oh, yeah. Expect when that expansion opens, there'll be easily 15 cabinet upgrades immediately. A lot of good stuff. A lot of rare games going up. A lot of prototype stuff. Not a lot of prototype stuff, but some rare stuff. Definitely a lot of things that nobody will ever have heard of. Again, first and foremost, we want to thin out some of the arcade floor. Just
take the choke points away.
Yeah, the bottlenecks have got to go. Mm-hmm. We want to clear out the stuff by F-Zero and
by the bathroom.
By the bathroom, yeah. And make it more comfortable again. So please bear with us.
Just a little bit longer.
Just a little bit longer. A little bit longer. And cool. We will not be quiet about when that expansion is opening. It's going to be absolutely unbelievable. The stuff that we have, I think maybe this week. I might do a second. We'll have our normal Monday mystery, but I think maybe sometime this week. Keep an eye out, as there might be something cool going on the floor midweek.
Okay. You mentioned Galloping Ghost Reproductions. You want to hint on? You hinted at that.
Yeah. So we've just for the last several years, Dennis over at Sign Up, which is the printing company next to us. Dennis Barnes has been doing a lot of our artwork, our marquees, our side art, our control panel art. He was moving away. We had told other arcades like Pixel Blast and Underground Retrocade they could have their stuff printed at them with him. So it just really seemed a shame that we took so much stuff over to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that he was going to be selling one of his printers and his building was going to be opening up, so we just kind of jumped on it. We're going to be forging ahead. We've got such a massive library of artwork
already. Yeah,
like we've always been about preserving artwork and scanning it all in. We're going to go in and meticulously go through and make sure every piece of artwork in the arcade is backed up and preserved. But then we're going to, on top of it, make it all available to people through our print company, Galloping Ghost Reproductions. Taking it one step further, with Combat Con, we upgraded our 3D printer, which Brandon Diaz has been, and Milo, our 3D artist, have been becoming just like this powerhouse of recreating things that we need. Brave Firefighters is a perfect example. Seth, when we got the hoses,
mm-hmm.
the front of the hose was actually missing, and it's this super unique plastic piece that holds the hose sensor, or the light gun sensor. And we want it to look as original as possible. Obviously, nobody sells that piece anymore.
Right.
So we handed it off to Milo, and Milo was using his micrometer to figure out exactly every small detail to it, and handed that. He modeled it up in 3D and handed it off to Brandon, and Brandon 3D printed it out and then handed it off to Seth, who installed it. And wow. No one would ever know that those parts are 3D printed.
That's crazy.
So we really want to get into, again, because we have so much rare, unique hardware. For example, again, the stuff that we've recreated with Ken Coy, who cast in remolded our Pong spinners and our Blaster Stick. Like, Blaster Sticks are ridiculously rare. So we're hoping to recreate stuff like that.
Cool.
And a lot more artwork, like bezel artwork. We're going to be able to be printing on glass, do like on glass marquees.
Are you doing laser bezel etching?
We will eventually be doing laser etching and embroidery and garment printing, and we're going to really grow production or reproductions. We are looking into doing cabinet, like full cabinet reproductions, and so many different avenues. Okay. To really help service the arcade community.
Cool. All right. Well, that's pretty major news.
Yeah. That's awesome. And also the front of that, we're kind of we've got so much merchandise to sell, we might make the front part of that
the shop.
Yeah, like a shop, and yeah, maybe have PCBs and stuff, and cool. Brian Colon artwork, and the MK guys.
I was going to say Brian Colon would be in the front. So.
Maybe sometimes.
Yeah, he does show up in odd. Yeah. He's not for sale, though.
No. But keep an eye out for Galloping Ghost reproductions.
Cool. All right, next up we've got Ghost Coins.
Yes, Ghost Coins.
I like the idea. I think it's cool.
Yeah, it was. It's one of those things we wanted to do. I don't know. It's just the coin element to an arcade. It is one of those things that.
It makes you feel the nostalgia, like you remember holding a fistful of quarters, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And while our machines will never use coins here. You can use our ghost coins to gain access towards the arcade.
The official value of those silver coins is $5 worth.
Yes.
Of whatever you want in the arcade, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of them will have sometimes they have a little bit of a swing value to them, but we'll remain vague and on that.
Mysterious.
And mysterious on that. How can you get ghost coins?
I've seen you give them out for impressive gaming feats.
I have.
I've seen you... Monday Mystery Games.
Monday Mystery?
If you win a Monday Mystery Game, you get one automatically, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Going to give them out for that.
What else?
It's going to be just random stuff. I know I gave one out, a couple out to Jamie Tibbetts.
Oh, for the knife picture?
Yeah, he played Rambo 3 with one of my giant Bowie knives in his mouth. That was worth a few coins.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it's, who knows? You know, we have put a ghost coin bounty out on it. Since it's Halloween, I think I'll issue a ghost coin bounty.
All right.
So we have our no gum ghosts, mm-hmm, that hang above the counter, and I collect those every year. Me and the my lovely and beautiful girlfriend Danielle go literally driving around neighborhoods looking at Halloween decorations for those ghosts. So if you provide an address of where one of those ghosts is being displayed, you will win yourself some ghost coins.
Oh my God. This is like blood money.
This weekend, we found two this weekend. And it's funny, we go up, we knock on the door, and they're like,
"What do you want?
What do you want?"
I want your ghosts.
I want your Halloween decorations to push the word of no gum.
So are you a stickler about that? Are people about no gum?
You know, I am. I am adamant about
people,
the no gum.
People, you know, sometimes give me looks when I ask them, oh, no gum. Like, even adults, yes, even adults.
Yes, it's everyone. Guys. It applies to everyone.
Yes.
I don't know, like, we have so few rules.
Yeah.
It's just one of those where, I don't know. I don't want to, my worst thing, I don't want to replace that carpet because that will impact everyone.
Yeah, we'll have to move every single game out of there.
Well, not only will we have to move, that's money that is going to go towards to get new games and run cool events and
anything nobody but wants the carpet.
It's getting socks for Christmas.
Right.
It's not what anybody wants.
I don't know. I sometimes want socks, but
No,
it's, you know what, it's something that people take for granted. Like, it's the floor you walk on.
Right. And, like, we impose it on our regulars and everybody. It's there's no gum. It's not meant to be, we're not trying to be jerks, but it's just one of those few rules that we have to enforce to make sure that it doesn't end up, like, carpeting that whole place would cost us
a lot
of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort.
Yeah. And it's much better spent on games or something.
Anything else than carpet. But not that, and we do, most people don't, it's been really cool seeing so many people take pictures of those ghosts.
Yeah.
Like, they find them really funny.
And I do, too. It's almost as big as the sign up front. Like, everyone takes their picture behind the sign on Ogden, which is cool. I like to see that.
Oh, I love seeing that.
But the ghosts are now a thing.
Tag me in a Twitter thing.
Yeah.
And you'll get, with a sign out in front of Ogden, you'll get a ghost coin.
Cool.
I'll be another bounty.
I'm liking this bounty thing. Can I put a bounty on a score?
With my own ghost coin? You cannot put a
score. Me personally?
You cannot. You should not. You're an arcade ref. You should be.
like, I mean, can one, not just, not me, I mean.
I can't stop anybody from doing anything.
Like, Tibbetts with his gold coins that he got, or not his gold coins, his silver coins that he got from Rambo. If he said, you can have those coins if you beat the score, X and X score.
I can't stop him from doing that.
Okay.
But as an arcade referee, I don't think that should be done. I think it's a conflict of interest.
All right. So I wouldn't put out a bounty on anything, then?
No.
Okay. Got it.
But
I hear you loud and clear.
Wink. Things get done either way. But yeah. No. How cool of it. There's been so many other venues that have been saying
they're gonna accept them.
Yeah, like Prince Arcades. Like, you can use ghost coins to buy cabinets.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh, I'll give you you're using ghost coins. You'll get a bigger discount.
That's awesome.
If you're using ghost coins, so Jeremy Fox over at Prince Arcades,
Paradise Arcades.
Brian Armitage at Paradise Arcades is all about it. Troy Smith, he takes them for cabinets. Plus all the three local arcades, Underground Retrocade. Scott Lambert has said he's all on board. Paul and Terry over at Pixel Blast. And Chicago Street Pinball as well. So you can use coins there.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's again, it's so amazing that the community works so well with one another. So definitely more and more places are going to be using them.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen anyone call their next game with their coin yet, though.
Yeah, you can.
You can do that, too.
You can.
I don't know. I'd be worried about someone just grabbing it.
Well.
They better not.
Better not.
Yeah.
Gamer etiquette right there.
Yeah. We should have a podcast later on gamer etiquette. Should be a topic later.
Yeah, I think we will. It's been a while. We've got so many new followers. I think it is time to do another gamer etiquette podcast, talk about the do's and don'ts within the arcade.
Mm-hmm. There's a few things we could definitely talk about. And we have so much to cover still. Like, we have a few more things to cover on this podcast. I don't want to add that on here real quick.
Yeah.
Let's talk about arcade updates.
Yes.
There's so much going on behind the scenes that I don't think many people know about.
No, it is, and again, there are, we don't take anything lightly here. Arcade is a integral part of what we want to do in the arcade community. We have people reaching out to us they want to be referees. We have venues that want to get involved. We have, there's just so much. It is a massive undertaking, for the site to be not only completely redone,
but with the right framework,
the proper framework, the right, we want to make sure everything is so just.
Well, it's intuitive, first of all, like not intuitive, but also it's going to serve both the player and the arcade operator the same.
For sure.
It's got to be very useful to both of them.
And it also has to have the highest level of credibility to it. Which has come down to making sure that like our rule sets for games. And I don't doubt that there will be some people that, when the initial change happens, people might be, I don't want to say upset, but it's going to be different.
Like taken aback, maybe.
Yeah. It's and like all I can say is I hope everybody please bears with us. We want to make this the high score community as credible as it's ever been and bring so much more to it. Make it fun and take away we want to get rid of the instances where games aren't fun to play anymore for score. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some stuff that I know people are going to be a little like, wait, I can't believe that's changing. Mm. But I hope everybody understands it is for the greater good of everything. And just bears with us and just wait till you see where we're going with it, because I think that it is going to take it to a new level.
Yeah, I've seen some of the things that are happening on the new site, and I'm really excited for it to launch.
Yeah. And again, to all the venues that are so anxious, like no one is more anxious than us to get you guys back into this and get involved. And we can't wait to see what all your players' scores are putting in. And we're really going to take it to the next level where we announced, we'll give something. I don't know if we've announced the new Orcade belts.
No, I don't believe so.
Did I even tell you about Orcade belts?
You mentioned them to
me. Okay. So, similar to our hardcore championship, we are going to present each new venue when you sign up, you're going to get a belt, an Orcade championship belt for your venue. You don't have to buy it. It is just yours. When you say that, hey, I'm going to submit scores, how we can give you various ways of how you want to have the belt change hands, if you want to have it be hardcore rules,
or be a yearly competition, if you want
could
to
be a yearly competition like our Gamer of the Year. It could be our who has the highest tokens at your location. So there's going to be a lot of different ways, and each venue will choose how its champion, its Orcade champion, is handled.
Excellent.
And then we hope to expand upon that and have those champions eventually clash.
Battle of champions.
Battle of champions from venue to venue. Like, can you claim two Orcade championships at multiple venues? Like, can you have six belts hanging off your arms?
Yeah, like the old WWF days.
Yeah. You have the world, you have the Intercontinental, mm-hmm. the tag team belts.
Yeah. You'd run out of rooms to hold them.
Yeah. So it's something that we really want to help the venues. This is not just, we want Orcade to really grow to become something that promotes the venues, promotes the players, and promotes the scores. But again, in getting there, I think I just want to preface and prepare everybody. There's going to be some stuff that...
There's roadblocks. I don't know if I want to call them roadblocks, just like prerequisites, I guess.
There's going to be prerequisites, like for the venues that are getting into it, we're going to require board verification. Like, we need to see your board, we need to see the dip switches.
We need to make sure it's not a 16-1, we need to make sure it's on the correct settings, and it's got to be documented.
Absolutely.
There's good reason for it, because we're going to stand behind it and say that's the world record when someone beats a score there.
Absolutely. Like, so much of it comes down to credibility. And it is going to be rule number one where every score that is in there has to be verified, credible, if we're calling it a world record. Like, we have to be comfortable with standing behind that.
Yeah. Cool. That's the latest on Orcade, but always look for more information coming up soon. We had a visit from Ed Boon.
Yeah. That was right before Combat Con. Yep. Huge shout outs to Ed for stopping by. We hope he comes by more often. Always a great time having him here.
I saw him, he was playing the Judge Dredd prototype in the picture you took of him.
Yeah, he literally walked past it and stopped in his tracks and was like, why do you have this? Like, how did you get this? Mm-hmm. And that's so awesome when that happens, when legends of the industry stop by and are impressed by the games that they're finding.
That's cool. We have a new arcade release from Raw Thrills, the TMNT game.
Yeah, this is...
Now, is this a redemption game, do you know?
It does have a redemption feature, but it plays...
You can play it, turn it off?
Yeah, you can just shut it off, okay. And it plays similar to the classic original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Turtles in Time from Konami.
Cool.
Huge shout-outs to Raw Thrills for going that route. Like, it was... I think that's great, like, making a game that harkens back to the classics, just so head-on, just, like, yeah, classic arcade. Like, it's not...
I think most people will remember putting quarters into that machine, so
hopefully it'll
resonate with some nostalgia.
Yeah, I've heard, I think Round 1 has it.
Oh, do they?
I think they have it on test, so... Cool. That's really cool. I know Arcade Heroes just mentioned that... Shane Muir put out a review of it.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. Awesome. Might have to reach out to Eugene and see...
see about getting one?
Yeah, because that would be cool to have those three in a row.
Yeah, it would. The old and the new. All right.
And I feel bad that we don't have any Raw Thrills games here yet.
Yep. I mean, they don't totally fit with what our model is, but...
Well, they've got some really cool games, though.
That's true. I don't know. Like, I've been... to a few newish arcades, and I really like the Alien one.
Aliens one. If I saw that, I would get it here. If when I was at a reasonable price, I would pick that up.
I did
that
see
Batman
one.
Game.
Ground Control had Aliens.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Walking Dead.
Yeah, I could see that going over really well here.
Yeah.
Cool. So before we talk about our Combat Con, I wanted to bring up Liz Malecki, because she came out for the first time before Combat Con.
Yeah, that was awesome. We had been talking to her for the longest time, and this was the first time she finally stopped out. She stopped out once before Combat Con and once after. She was doing the Chicago Marathon, so we were helping her do some fundraising for that, and huge shout-outs to everybody who donated to help her reach her goal. I think you can actually still donate.
Mm-hmm. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Cool. But yeah, it was great. She was kind of overwhelmed. Like I told her about the Mortal Kombat community and how...
They're passionate, yeah.
To say the least, they are passionate. But yeah, it was just unbelievable. She had... the second time she came out, she was going on and on about how... amazing a time it was, and even just standing there, somebody pointed out to this one kid that's Sonya.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
just taken aback.
Yeah, he was faint of heart. Like, yeah. It was really cool. So huge shout outs to Liz Malecki for coming out and being a part of Combat Con.
Definitely, yeah. I think it was really cool. Like, wasn't she the last one of the original actors that hadn't made it out before?
Pretty much. The only one now, like, Ho-Sung had come out to the previous Combat Con. He returned to this Combat Con. The only one that wasn't able to make it that we know was Becky Gable.
Oh, right.
Who played Katana, Melina, and Jade in UMK3.
Right.
She's trying to come out. Hopefully she'll be at the next one.
Cool.
Keep talking with her. And then the only two actors that we have not been in contact with are Eddie Wong and Michael O'Brien.
Oh, from MK3, both of them.
Both from MK3 and UMK3. Mm-hmm. And we just have not had any luck in finding them.
If you can find them for us, should we put out a Ghost Coin Bounty for that?
I'm sure. Ghost Coin Bounty, but... they are pretty off the radar.
I've asked
everyone and had people swear they knew them.
Mm-hmm.
And went and talked with them, and not the case.
No.
Not the right person.
Okay.
Chris Alexander, this was his first time. He has not been out to the arcade yet. But Chris Alexander, who was Johnny Cage in MK Trilogy, who was also the last MK actor to film. was at Combat Con. So
cool. All right. So you want to go into Combat Con?
Yeah, yeah. Talking about it. Yeah, Combat Con, September 23rd, 2017. That was
a few weeks ago, but still, I think a lot of people still are kind of remembering.
I'm still seeing posts on it.
Yeah.
Over a month later, it's been unbelievable. Easily our best turnout to any of the Shang Tsung Fight Night events or Combat Con. Of the actors that showed up, we had Daniel Pacina, Carlos Pacina, Rich DeVizio, Philip Ahn, Catalin Zmar, John Parrish, Tony Marquez, Chris Alexander, Brian Glenn, John Turk, Leah Montelongo, Kerry Hoskins, Sal DeVita, and Ho Sung Pak.
Wow.
That's an unbelievable lineup.
Crazy.
That's all but three of the original MK actors. Josh Shui was out. John Vogel was out. Dan Forden was out.
Oh, my God.
Rigo Cortez from NetherRealm was there. Just what an unbelievable day it was.
The tournaments had some really high-level play going on, I heard, too.
Yeah, we had...
We had a lot of players out of the country come in.
The people from the Chileans, the Argentinians.
The Australians.
The Australians.
Of course, MK Dan.
MK Dan in from Luxembourg.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, just what an unbelievable event. Everybody in from all over the U.S. Just hundreds and hundreds of people. We had just such a fantastic time. Smiles from start to finish.
Yeah, it looks like everyone had a great time. And there was a lot of pictures from the after party as well.
After party was insane. Tony Marquez performed with his band as Kung Lao and the Scorpions, which was just ridiculous. Huge shout-outs. My brother came in from Missouri to help with the audio work on that.
Cool.
And, man, unbelievable. So many great pictures from it. A lot of effort went into it. Huge shout out to Brandon Diaz for helping me get it all organized. And
yeah, the venue I heard was really good too.
Yeah, it was. I think as close to perfect as you could get. Immediately thought like how we're gonna outdo it next year. I don't know. Like nobody thought we could outdo last year's. But we're gonna keep trying and can't wait for it. Weather will be, I know, talking with Daniel, he wants to take it on the road. So we'll see.
Combat Con Road Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah,
shout outs to everyone.
Shout outs to everybody who came out to it. Shout outs to all of the vendors who participated in it. Yeah, just unbelievable time. If you missed it, go look at those pictures.
Yeah, I'll have to link the albums. I'll link the albums in the show notes just so people can check them out. But yeah, it's especially the after party pictures are kind of funny.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So much fun. So much fun.
Cool. Excellent, excellent. So we'll hear more about next year. I'm sure there's planning already going on for next year.
Literally that night, I was jotting down notes.
I need to do this next year.
We have to get this person here and this person here. So it'll be a fun time for when the next one, whenever or wherever it is.
Excellent, excellent. Oh, you reminded me about this before we recorded. We this weekend in Vegas, the Big Buck World Championship is going on.
Yes. Just got a text yesterday. George Petro reminded me about this. Check it out. It's going to be on twitch.tv. What's the address for?
twitch.tv/BigBuckHD.
Yeah. Big Buck Hunter. While we don't have one here yet, it's such a...
It's a big part of the industry, though.
It is. It's huge. It sustained the industry for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I know Matt Rocco will be watching. Adam, he'll be glued.
He'll be there all day, yeah.
All day, from start to finish. Definitely check it out. We'll probably have it being streamed from the arcade for a little bit. So go tune into that for sure.
Cool. We have next up the Quad K tournament.
Wow.
It's a while ago.
Yeah. We got to make sure that we don't do these every 3 months.
Yeah. Are we going to make a guaranteed podcast guarantee to our audience? Can we make a guarantee that we won't record this long between episodes?
No. I can't make that guarantee. I wish I could. If it bothers you, come up to me and complain that we're not doing enough podcasts.
Then out of guilt, you will.
Well, maybe if you complain...
You get a ghost coin.
You get a ghost coin. All
right.
So, yeah, the Quadcade tournament. I was so happy that this tournament went off like it did. We wanted to show a sign of solidarity between the Chicago arcades. So we teamed up with Underground Retrocade, Pixel Blast, and Chicago Street Pinball, and ran our first Quadcade tournament. And I think it went over incredibly well.
It did. There was a couple like scoring hiccups with Orcade, because I don't think anyone has ever run a tournament that spanned multiple locations before.
Right.
So we've got that figured out on the new site. We've got that framework in place now.
Yeah.
So hopefully that won't ever be an issue again. But it seems like everyone really liked the variety that each place offered.
Yeah. Each venue had four machines that they put in the tournament. It was great seeing the players travel around a little bit and check out. I know a lot of them hadn't been to Chicago Street.
And most of them were like, I love this place. I'm going back.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted.
Absolutely. We wanted to make sure they check out those other places and check out other games and stuff that we don't have here. Like, that's what made going to arcades so cool back in the day, was the variety, and it's what built it up. It was, every place was sustaining just because it offered something different and unique.
So if are we going to have more occasions involved next time we run that?
Oh, absolutely.
The Octocade tournament?
Maybe.
I don't know where we go from there. Yeah.
I kind of hope that maybe even some of the other venues will do stuff without us. Yeah. Like, use Orcade to do stuff like that. Like, maybe you include us, maybe you don't. But in, like, maybe somebody, an arcade out of state, wants to run something with us.
Arcade versus arcade, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's there's a lot of cool things that can go on, and I hope a lot of the operators start thinking different and, like, hey, let's run this crazy event and team it up with this other arcade and get everybody talking and cross-promoting and get everybody hyped for scoring tournaments.
Yep. Now, next up after Quadcade, I have listed here T20. I don't know if that chronologically makes sense, but yeah, I think T20 did come after Quadcade, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It did. T20, again, our annual 20 arcade game tournament. Definitely a lot of fun. We had a secondary tournament.
It was Konami side event.
Games. Yep, was the side event. Really cool.
I was really happy that a lot of people got into the side event this time. Last year it was kind of like seemed more like an afterthought, but it was pretty competitive this year.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
I think went over really well. A lot of fun. We brought out five games that weren't available on the floor.
And still are not.
They were exclusive to that tournament.
Yeah, you could have played them if you were there.
You missed it.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Piranha.
Solaris.
Polaris.
Polaris, sorry. I mixed those two in my mind.
Tunnel Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm
Chase HQ.
Chase HQ, yeah. That was a good one.
Yes.
And one more.
I forgot it already. I already forgot it.
Wow.
Do you remember?
I don't. I cannot think of it at all.
Get a ghost coin if you remember.
No.
No?
No. It'll come to me. But not right now.
Not right now. Okay.
We'll leave that little blank space. And in post.
Post?
Well, just kidding.
Yeah.
We'll put it in the liner notes.
Yes. But of course, Zerst claimed the championship for the third time.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal.
It really is. Very impressive. Congratulations to him. He retained the T20 belt.
Mm-hmm.
He got some ghost coins. Got a year membership. We hope to see him back out often.
And he got some cash.
Yeah.
So, yeah, congrats to Zerst. One of the top players, if I would say, like, probably one of the best players that's ever played here.
Yeah.
So that's very awesome that he continues to support and come out to the events.
Absolutely. We really hope the next one. Huge thanks to Aaron Ozens and his wife for coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And helping run that tournament and entering in scores. And Yeah, thanks to everybody who participated, and a lot of good scores that went in.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really bothering me that I can't remember that fifth game.
All right, what are the first four? No.
It was...
Chase HQ.
Chase HQ, Piranha.
Solaris.
Polaris.
Tunnel Hunt.
Tunnel Hunt. Mm-hmm. And... Let's
keep talking, it'll come out.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look at the...
At the tournament?
I'm not going to look at the tournament. I'd feel that would even be cheating.
What? All these rules you make for yourself.
It is...
Domino Man.
No. Not Domino Man.
I'm going to pull it up right now.
Wow. I'm completely drawing a blank.
It's too late. I'm already on Orcade.
Oh, well. We'll come back to it.
All right, here it is.
Maybe it was only four games.
Polaris, Piranha.
Uh-huh. Lunar Rescue. No. That's on the floor.
Maybe it was only those four. Chasing.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Yeah, I think that was it. There was one of them for the side tournament? I don't know. We've wasted too much
time. Yeah, we should move on from here. Sorry, everybody. We'll list it.
Yeah, definitely. We've done too much.
Too much. If we did any post-work on this, we would cut all this out, but you've had to suffer through it. So, sorry.
All right. So, that was T20.
Moving on.
So, the building next to the offices here now has a new sign on it, I've noticed. Can you talk about that or no?
The Galloping Ghost Gamma?
That.
Yes.
That's the sign, yeah.
That is the sign. The sign went up for our now... That is our third Ghost logo up on Ogden Avenue with the Arcade Productions and the Galloping Ghost Gamma. And Gamma, G-A-M-A, standing for Gym and Martial Arts. It is going to be our facility that we're opening probably early November, it's looking like. It's coming up. It's going to be a Gym and Martial Arts school with Daniel Pacina. Of Mortal Kombat fame, who played Johnny Cage, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Reptile.
I like him as Reptile better.
Well, you would. John Parrish, who played Jax. And Philip Ahn, who played Shang Tsung. Daniel is going to be teaching Wushu, Chinese Kung Fu, Wing Chun, and several other martial arts styles. Philip Ahn will be teaching Taekwondo. And John Parrish will be running a lot of classes and be doing personal training. It's going to be a full gym and martial arts school with the Mortal Kombat guys.
So sounds pretty killer.
It's going to be awesome. Like, I'm super excited.
Do you learn fatalities?
You might have to slip him some ghost coins or something.
Okay.
But maybe. I've been training Wing Chun with Daniel Pacina now for a while, and just an awesome teacher. I've been working out with John every week. Just beware of leg day. Mm-hmm. He does it. I've never done leg day before. and just very excited for it. We just opened up our Facebook page. So go like the Facebook page.
I will link it.
Thank you. We're going to be announcing the hours and the classes and showing off all the equipment that's going in there. It's going to be pretty awesome. Like myself, I used to go to the gym 7 days a week, and literally the last 2 years I have not. I have not been in the gym at all, and this was about the only way to...
Get you there.
To get me there. Let's make it closer.
Cool.
So very excited for that. Signs went up. Brandon Diaz did the logo for it, and I know he's it turned out really good. Really happy with it. And check it out and go like the Facebook page, because we're going to be doing a lot of crossover stuff, and hope everybody enjoys it.
Okay. All right. So finally we arrive at Gotti, Gamer of the Year.
Gamer of the Year. Huge shout outs to its winner. It was easily.
No. Was it easily picked?
Easily the most difficult.
Oh, I was going to say. I'm like, this wasn't an easy pick. This couldn't have been.
No. Easily.
You were dreading it.
It was so close, it delayed it from happening at its initial start time. That's how torn I was between this.
Yes.
It was just so difficult and so close, but Jamie Tibbetts came out on top, and he is your Gamer of the Year.
For 2017.
For 2017.
Now, is there anything, any one particular thing that you think he did that gave him the edge? Or is it just everything
it,
put together?
It was an all-encompassing thing. Like, the tournament wins factor in huge.
Like,
the
Quadcade winner, yeah.
Quadcade winner. That Masi Zagopian was my other choice, and it was just such a struggle between the two. I normally don't announce, like, who's, like, in consideration, but this one was so close that it's imperative that everybody know that it was that close. Huge shout outs to Massey's. He had an amazing year.
Yeah, I was gonna say he'd won multiple tournaments, had a really good run on the hardcore challenge.
Hardcore thing factored in a lot for me. I was really impressed with that. Mm-hmm. He won a lot of tournaments as well, but Jamie, he had the...
I think his performance at Battle of the Arcades was astounding.
Battle of the Arcades was very impressive. Yeah. That factored in heavily for him, too. Mm. So congrats, Jamie. Huge shout-outs, too, to Chicago Street Pinball for acknowledging the champ.
Yeah, he walked over there and was given something.
Yeah, he gave him... year pass. So as long as he reigns here, he's good over there.
There's
so
perks
to being Gamer of the Year.
Yeah. It's good to be the king.
It is good to be the king.
congrats to Jamie. What else can be said? You know, great gamer, lots of 1ccs, lots of world records, tournament wins, etc. You know, he's a all-around great gamer, a lot of different genres, so... congrats. I'm sure he'll have a good reign.
He has picked his game that he would like to see on the floor.
Yeah? Yes. Is it public knowledge?
Yes. He announced it on a Monday mystery.
Okay.
That it is... Wow. I bought it.
Oh, that doesn't mean you'll remember it, though.
No. What I'm remembering is getting to be less and less and less, apparently.
We'll skip that.
We'll skip that. Otherwise... It'll probably... Oh, it was Outzone. No, it's actually kind of similar to... Oh, another game. What's that game name? This is going to be a joke now. The running joke of I can't remember what game I'm thinking of. It's kind of similar to Search and Rescue.
Oh, okay.
A little bit...
The rotary dial?
But without the rotary. A little bit faster paced. Mm-hmm. A Taupelin game.
Okay.
Found it already. So, cool. Very cool. Right. Excellent choice.
Very cool.
Those Game of the Year, I know Pete Gores had picked his game, and we haven't even gotten that one on the floor yet, but we have his choice as well. So,
cool. I think the belt gives you powers. Like, he's been doing well since he had the belt, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's got a lot of 1cc's since he got it.
It's funny how Gamer of the Year, it either helps or... Hinders
you, yeah. It's a curse or blessing.
Yeah, we've seen, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
what's
again,
next?
All we have left, really, is the crash yesterday.
Ah, yes. So, there was...
You've probably already seen this on Facebook. But
yeah, that was surprisingly a very popular post. I wish all of our posts made that kind of...
It was shared over 100 times, I thought.
It was shared everywhere. Yeah. It was around 2 o'clock, I guess. There was a crazy noise coming out of the front of the, by the production offices. We ran out to find a car had crashed into our building. not too much that can be said on it. It's everybody was all right. None of my guys were, none of the Galloping Ghost employees were out there, fortunately.
Which is awesome, yeah.
It shot, basically that wall is three layers of bricks. So he went through three back-to-back brick walls. It shot brick 30 feet into the...
Wasn't there glass mirrors there too, though?
Oh, yeah, he went through a mirror, too.
Yeah.
So that was...
That's bad luck.
He had that before he came into the wall.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's nothing really too badly damaged. We lost one of our Wing Chun dummies. Had a crack in it from a brick hitting it.
Oh.
No machines lost, though.
That's good news.
And had no impact on the arcade, obviously, as it was down the street.
Will not affect the swap meet.
Will not affect the swap meet. It's been boarded up. The Brookfield has said that it's structurally okay. It's been propped up. There's a 4x4 wedged in the hole. The top of it is very secure. It's got a steel beam up there.
Cool.
So it should be all safe and sound for the swap meet. So that's pretty much that. It's already been all cleaned up.
Very cool. The... Yeah, that was basically all there is that I have to cover, but there was one thing that we wanted to put forward to our listeners about content for the next upcoming podcast.
Yes. We're hoping to get to another podcast very soon.
We'd like to.
We will. But we want to... the last few have been...
just huge updates.
Yeah, like this again is just a catch-up podcast, so we want to get more into content-driven stuff. So tell us what you want to see. Do you want to have us interview other arcade operators? Do you want to talk to industry people?
Gamers.
Other gamers. Do you want
to
talk
about... I think the etiquette thing is a good thing to do.
Etiquette would be good.
But that's more of a, like, the more you know type thing. It's not really controversial, you know?
For sure.
There's not really two sides to it. I mean, there can be two sides, I guess, to it.
Oh, for sure. Like one we did with Jeremiah and...
And Will? Was that Will on there?
No, it was Jamie and Tim Foley. Right. And
yeah.
So, yeah, like, let us know what you want to talk about, and we will. Like, do you want to hear about game acquisitions? Should we get...
pricing?
Pricing. Do you want to hear about how to open an arcade? How do you want to hear about fixing another tech podcast like when we had Seth and Doug on here? So let us know, and we'll do it.
Cool. All right. So that about wraps us up.
Cool. Well, I guess...
Wait. What are you playing?
What are you playing?
Yeah. I asked you first.
Me? We've been having a lot of fun on Third Strike lately.
Oh, yeah, Will's got you on there.
Will's been playing that.
For someone that claims to not play Versus, you've been playing a lot of Versus.
I have been going back on that a little bit. It's been so far just limited to very close friends and people who work here.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that'll ever change. Mm-hmm. But
normally your standing rule is no Versus.
Yeah, I stand to that.
Yeah.
But... I don't know, just kind of...
Just for fun.
Since I've stopped playing for score, it's like whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't...
It's not as stressful?
It's still stressful. But trying to not be so crazy, so...
Cool.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah. Watching James play Will was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was fun. Good. Some... Super high-level MK2 play here on...
Tuesday, was it? Or Wednesday,
yeah. Uday Kumra and Randy Candy and mm-hmm. just awesome.
Bowl chair, I think.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So great to see. It was always my goal. I wanted to have such a huge arcade fighting scene here. Mm-hmm. And with the team, when we had Team GGA, it got off on the console track, but it never...
Never took off on the arcade side.
On the arcade side. So maybe we will finally be seeing it. So maybe we should do a tournament. Street Fighter 3 tournament. As long as those Argentinians and Chileans aren't here. Beating everybody else. Oh, man, those guys were good. Yeah. Yeah, new world record on Street Fighter.
Yeah, on what's it called? Grandmaster Challenge.
And the original.
And the original Street Fighter, yes.
George.
Yeah, from Enriquez.
From
Chile.
Chile.
Yeah.
For yeah, both. He was beating players without looking.
Left and right, yeah.
He was, he called me over and he's like, he was looking down at the floor.
Oh, no.
And flawlessing, like winning rounds flawless.
It's in, like, in the Street Fighter.
He is, was in the original Street Fighter.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He knows that game.
Very much so.
What are you playing?
Not too much lately. You know, I've been messing around with Midnight Resistance just a little bit.
Yes.
Which is, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm kind of just learning it right now, but it, I don't know. It's a cool take on the side-scroller shooter. You know, like, I love my Contra and Super Contra, but this is different. It has a spinner, so I'm adjusting to that, but I'm still enjoying it.
Great game.
Yeah, very much.
You'll be 1C seeing it.
Tonight.
Probably tonight. I honestly don't think that is a... I find that game easy.
Well, because you grew up with it.
It's not even that. It's,
if you know what the tech is, I guess, it's easy.
Even without the tech, I think that game is pretty easy. I don't know why...
No one else is 1cc.
Every regular should have that 1cc.
You're here first, 1cc.
Yeah, it's a 1cc. It's low-hanging fruit.
Okay. Can get you on that 1cc leaderboard.
That'd be, do it. I think everybody should.
All right. Cool. Well, yeah, that's about it.
But we'll wrap it up with that. For Pete Hahn, thanks everybody. I'm Doc Mack from the Galloping Ghost Arcade, and we hope to see you around the arcade soon.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.